You're listening to Lace Up with your host, VJ Johnson II. Grab your tennis shoes, get your cleats, because it's time to lace up. What's going on, everybody? Welcome to Lace Up. I'm your host, VJ Johnson II, ready to give you the latest, hottest news and updates in the world of sports. I appreciate everybody jumping in and joining the podcast and giving me a little bit of your time to talk some good, healthy sports talk as always. Hey, man, look, it's a great time right now, y'all. Fall season is upon us, man. The weather feels amazing outside. If you haven't got outside, man, I encourage you to get out and enjoy this weather. It's been a long time coming, man. We went through excessive heat warnings for all through the summer, man. It was painful. But now we finally have some weather that we can enjoy. And, you know, it's going to be cooling off even more. So look, it's that hoodie season, man. I'm excited about it. I have plenty of clothes for the fall. I want to get some more hoodies, man. Honestly, I need to go to the store. I said that to myself the other day, like, I need to go to the mall and check out some more hoodies. So look, hey, I think y'all should do the same, man. What better way to, you know, kick off fall with some fresh new hoodies, fresh new, you know, sweatsuits or whatever it is that you like to wear during the fall season, man. But I'm also excited about, you know, just you know, obviously football's here. Look, and honestly, when I think about fall, man, like that pumpkin spice, you know, like that Starbucks, you eat something from Starbucks, pumpkin spice flavor. Then you got the candles. I don't know, however it is that you celebrate fall. Man, I just encourage everybody, look, enjoy this time, enjoy, just being around the people you love, man. But hey, with that being said, let's kick into our topics, man, because we had a lot of good stuff to cover, some crazy stuff going on in the sports world right now. We know, you know, obviously in Major League Baseball, it's winding down, October is right around the corner. You know what that means, playoff time. So, you know, looking, you know, forward to how that's going to shake up. I know our hometown Atlanta Braves are doing work, you know, locking up some playoff positioning and everything like that. So definitely, you know, looking forward to seeing how this year turns out for them and if they can make another return to the World Series for, you know, the second time in 3 years. So, but let's kick things off, man, because, you know, I normally, you know, haven't been talking NBA, because football is around, but I can't go without mentioning what went down in the NBA, which I know y'all know where I'm going with this, man. I'm talking about Damian Lillard being traded to the Milwaukee Bucks, man. I cannot believe it. Like, I when I got the alert on my phone, I was at work, and the way I reacted to my phone, like, my coworkers sitting next to me, they thought it was something wrong with me. Like, they thought something was wrong because I was just at a loss for words when I saw that Damian Lillard was traded to the Milwaukee Bucks. Like, you're going to give Damian Lillard Giannis? Like, oh my God. Like, I don't even know what to say. First and foremost, I'm glad Damian Lillard finally got out of Portland, because we all know he wasn't going to win a ring in Portland. Excuse me. See, look, I got so excited, man. I can't even put my words together. That's how you know I'm just in shock. But we all know that he was not going to be able to win a ring in Portland. I mean, with him and CJ McCollum, it was cool. You know, they you know, made the playoffs a few times, and, you know, it was fun while it lasted. But ultimately, that's not where he was going to win a championship. We all knew that. He wanted to stay loyal. You know, I can respect it, but obviously we know the real deal. But, you know, this was a just to get into the deal in particular, specifically, this is a 3-team deal between the Blazers, Suns, and Bucks. So obviously Damian to the Bucks, and then the Bucks in turn gave up Drew Holiday. And also DeAndre Ayton was given up by the Suns. They're both Drew and DeAndre going to the Blazers. And then Yusef Nurkic is actually going to Phoenix. So, again, Damian Lillard's joining Giannis and Chris Middleton in this, you know, quest for the 2023-24 NBA title. You know, if this team stays healthy, y'all, I mean, you can really just pencil them into the Eastern Conference Finals and the NBA Finals, if you ask me. I mean, I'm looking at the way that these guys are built. I mean, the roster consisting of Bobby Portis, Brooke Lopez, Jay Crowder, you know, solid guys on this roster. So, again, like, I'm looking at it, I'm just saying, you know, the fact that Damian Lillard can give you 45 to 50. Like, and here's the thing that's crazy to me. I had one of my coworkers actually look at me with a straight face and tell me Damian Lillard was washed up. And it took everything in me. If I would have said what I wanted to say, I probably would have been in trouble. But you're going to sit up here and tell me Damian Lillard's washed? He could give you 50 any night. Like, stop playing. Let's not get delusional now. And you're going to give Damian Lillard Giannis and Chris Middleton and a Bobby Portis and Lopez. Like, it's dangerous, man. It's scary hours for the East. I'm not going to lie. And my poor Chicago Bulls got to deal with this in division. I don't know what's going to happen. I mean, I'm going to have to pray a lot before I watch a Bucks Bulls game. So I'm not really expecting us to really compete, you know, too much with that. But, you know, nevertheless, looking at this roster, man, and the way that they're built heading into the season, man, I like what I see. I think that, you know, they have a legitimate shot to get to the NBA finals this year. And so I'm going to make my early prediction. I'm going to say Bucks and Celtics in the Eastern Conference Finals. Yep, go ahead and give me that. And then I'm going to make another early prediction. I got Bucks versus Nuggets in the NBA Finals, which I think that would be a great matchup between, you know, two solid teams. Obviously, we know what the Nuggets were able to do, you know, last year, being able to knock off Miami pretty much with ease. But those guys are coming back, you know, looking to repeat. And, you know, you got the Bucks had a disappointing, you know, end to their year, being upset by the Heat in the playoffs. So, you know, they obviously want to come back with the vengeance and ultimately get back to the NBA Finals. So excited to see, you know, how it all shakes up and how it all turns out. But yeah, Damian Lillard is now a Milwaukee Buck, man. Wow. And I know some Bucks fans too, like, personally, and they were literally just as in shock as I was. So I'm not looking forward to getting text messages when they beat my Bulls. I will tell y'all that. So but yeah. Moving on, man, let's talk college football. You know, obviously just want to break down the current AP poll as it stands. So I'll just do a quick little rundown of that, and then we'll talk, you know, specifics, kind of break down, you know, into a few more things. But right now, as it stands, you got Georgia at 1, Michigan 2, no changes there. Texas is 3, Ohio State 4, Florida State 5, Penn State 6, Washington 7, USC is at 8, Oregon 9, Utah 10, Notre Dame 11, Alabama's 12, and LSU's 13, Oklahoma 14, UNC 15. So I'll stop there. So that's where we currently stand when it comes to the AP Top 25. No major surprises here. From, you know, last weekend up till now, obviously Notre Dame took a tough, heartbreaking loss to Ohio State when they had them on the ropes, had the game won, and Ohio State drove the ball down the field. And on the last play of the game, were able to run the ball in from the 1 yard line. So, disappointing loss, obviously, for Notre Dame. And not just disappointing, but just heartbreaking. And Florida State barely escaping, in the overtime game against Clemson, man. That's their second close one in a row. You know, the week prior to that, they had Boston College. They just beat them by 2 points. So could Florida State be on, you know, another upset alert sometime in this season. We'll see. I know they later on in the year they do face Duke. I mean, they play a Miami team and they also play Florida at the end of the year. But I'm not necessarily sure if I could see any of those teams knocking off Florida State. But like I said, this is college football. Stranger things have happened, so you never know. But, you know, late in the season on the road in Gainesville against Florida, that's never easy. So, but yeah, I don't see any major, differences or changes that, you know, I believe should have been made. So I'm cool with that. Let's jump into, specifically Alabama, because I know a lot of people have had Alabama in the topic of conversation for a very long time. Before the season, obviously with all the quarterback, situation that was going on. And, the question was whether it was going to be Milroe or Tyler Buckner or Ty Simpson. We saw that, Saban gave Milroe the first two games. He went 1-1. Ultimately gave Tyler Buckner the nod to get the start against UCF. That did not go well. Actually went terribly, worse than what you could have imagined or thought or hoped it would have. Then in the second half, finally made the switch to Ty Simpson, who came in and was able to help lead the Tide to a road win against UCF. Jalen Milroe showed great leadership on the sidelines during that game, so Saban actually gave him the nod to get the start against Ole Miss. And heading into this game, people were, saying that Ole Miss was going to upset Alabama. Alabama came in as a 6 or 7 point favorite, so just a touchdown favorite over Ole Miss, and people thought that that was, disrespectful because of the way that Alabama had been playing. They said that, Ole Miss should be favored in this game. A lot of people said that. However, Alabama was favored. People did pick Ole Miss to upset. Not everybody, but a good majority of people did pick that. But Alabama was able to, weather that storm. Milroe, like I said, he got the start, and they were able to get a big win versus Ole Miss. So biggest question here, is Alabama back? A lot of people are having this question. Is Alabama back? I would say yes. I think that, and just to recap, like I said, they knocked off Ole Miss 24-10. First half was slow for Bama. Milroe in the offense, they did move the ball, were unable to capitalize in red zone situations, settled for a couple of field goals. Only ended the half with 6 points. I know Milroe also threw that pick in the red zone, in the end zone specifically, where he could have had an easier check down to maybe a Trey Burton, or maybe tucked the ball and ran, anything but a turnover, because you have a guaranteed three in that situation. So went into the half, 7-6 game, but Bama came out more focused in the second half, found their rhythm. They were very balanced, and the defense continued to ball out. I mean, defense held it down the first half and second half. I mean, first half they gave up a touchdown drive, but after that they were solid across the board. Didn't give up any, huge plays over the top. Actually got turnover. Terrion Arnold with a good pick from a deep ball from Jackson Dart. Defense did their job like they've been doing these past few weeks. Milroe did finish the game 17-21 for 225 yards, a touchdown and one interception. Play of the game was he hit freshman wide receiver Jordan Hill for a 33-yard touchdown in the third quarter. Jace McClellan, he actually finished with 17 carries, 105 yards, and a touchdown. Bama, ultimately at the end of the day, Bama showed that they're still Alabama. It's still Alabama. And if they can replicate that second half for the rest of the season, they'll find themselves in a college football playoff, hands down. If they're able to play that is the style of football and the Alabama brand that they need to play and the standard that they need to play up to for the rest of the year. That second half, use that and build off of that. And I think that they've, and that's why I say Alabama's back. They were able to find something, find a spark, finally. And look, better late than never, but they found a spark. And I think that offensive coordinator Tommy Rees saw some things that, that work really well. Still do feel like we need to get better at snapping the ball. We need to work on that, that center, because I don't know what's going on with that center situation. Not being able to snap the ball cleanly throughout the game. I'm just not understanding that. But to be on the positive side, I think that they found something that they can build off of. And I think that that's only going to build up the confidence of Jalen Milroe. And I think the confidence of this team is at an all-time high right now. And they do have two road tests back-to-back coming up. They're going up against Mississippi State. And then followed by Texas A&M, both on the road. So excited to see how these guys respond, how they come into both. Let's focus on one matchup at a time. But they go into Starkville to face a Mississippi State Bulldogs team. You know, obviously, it's a late game, you know, the Cowbells and everything like that. So, you know, definitely interested to see how, you know, the team continues to build off of the success that they had in that second half against Ole Miss. Moving along, man, let's continue and discuss the college football playoff committee, because they actually are holding off talks on changes to the 12-team format for next year. And like I said, they didn't cancel it. They're just holding off talks. And you may be asking, why is this happening? Why are they, you know, stalling talks right now? And it's what it is they're waiting to actually see the future and the fate of the Pac-12. So, you know, obviously, College Football Playoff Executive Director Bill Hanick, he was explaining this, obviously, to the media, giving an update on, you know, what's causing that. There actually is a legal hearing set for November the 14th for Oregon State and Washington State's legal fight that they're having with the Pac-12 and the other departing members, other teams that have, you know, made deals to leave the conference and join other Power Fives. And this is to, you know, gain control of the conference. This legal hearing is to gain control of the conference and its assets. So, you know, again, both Oregon State and Washington State are trying to gain full, you know, gain control. Now, there's a possibility that the Mountain West could join and merge with the Pac-12 to try and benefit from that brand and its assets. Because we know that right now, the way that the Pac-12 is, it's going to end with like two teams. And you can't obviously have a conference that's run by two teams at all. So, again, they're going to be looking to possibly the Mountain West. Now, however, here's where the controversy comes in. If this happens, there's going to be a lot of controversy on whether or not the Pac-12 would be considered a Power 5 conference anymore. Now, Power 5 conferences, they get 80% of the benefits of the college football playoff revenue. The group of five schools receive 20%. So that's very interesting. So ultimately, the way that I look at it, I think the Pac-12 is done. I mean, I've said it before. Everybody's heading out. It's only a matter of time before other schools, the remaining schools, go ahead and pick what conferences they're going to join. And I think that this is going to be, you know, the end of the Pac-12. And even if the Pac-12 still, you know, stays alive and merges with the Mountain West, I don't think, you know, if that happens regardless, like, they're not going to be a Power 5 conference anymore. And in that situation, if you don't have a power, if you're Power 5 schools and you lose one of the Power 5s, and now what are they going to call it? The Fantastic Four? Like, what's going to be the new name, or who's going to be the other conference that they're going to consider a Power 5 conference? Or are they just going to change the name and have it four solid conferences? That being, you know, the SEC, Big Ten, ACC, and the Big 12. So who knows? But again, I think that they're going to fall apart and they won't be a Power 5 anymore. Now, if the Pac-12 does lose the Power 5 status, the current 12-team playoff format is actually going to allow guarantee access for two group of five champions. So, you know, you have the way the format goes, and we can break it down even more later on. But again, the way the format is broken down, it allows the Power 5, I mean, the group of five to get a couple teams in, which is pretty cool and interesting. So definitely looking forward to seeing how that shakes up next year. And, you know, Bill Hanick, executive director, did say, you know, the plan is still to have everything in place prior to the 2024 season. So I think that things are still in motion. I think they're just stalling the talks right now. They've had plenty of talks about this format already, so I know that they know the direction they want to go ultimately, but they have to just see what the fate is of the Pac-12. Now, moving along, man, let's take it to the NFL. Let's shift gears, man, because we had some history that was made last week, man. The Dolphins dropping a 70-piece hot lemon pepper wet with the sprinkles on it, on the Broncos' head, man. 70-20. Like, getting 50-pieced, bro. I'm 31 years old. I've never seen anything like that in NFL. I've never seen that. I mean, the Dolphins had the third highest total in NFL history. Now, the highest was by the Chicago Bears, and this was in the pre-Super Bowl era where they beat Washington 73-0, and that's 1940. Second highest was Washington's win over the Giants 72-41 in 1966. Now, I'm shocked and I'm appalled and surprised that they didn't even try to break the record, because they very well could have broken, at least tied the record. Like, you got an opportunity like that to put your stamp. I mean, they're already in the history books, but you can put a stamp on it. Do you know, there hasn't been a team that scored 70 plus points since 1966. Like, and you got an opportunity to tie that or even break that record and be the only team that's done it for the next, I don't know, 40 years, 50 years or whatever. Like, because I don't see anybody, I mean, well, who knows? The way the league is going, you might be able to score 70 easily in the next few years, the way that these rules are changing and everything. But still, man, I'm surprised that, you know, they decided to go that route. I mean, I guess I don't really know the logic or the reasoning behind it. But, I mean, I don't know. I don't know. If it was me, it would be different. I'm getting that record. So, but yeah, I mean, it is what it is. That's just me. You know, I can't speak for anybody else. But moving along, man, now it is time to make our Saturday selections, man. So I'm just going to run down top games that I'm going to have my eye on, that I'll be tuning into, and I'll quickly give you my picks. Not going to spend a lot of time on, you know, breaking down each game. Just wanted to give you guys my picks for college football and for the NFL. And then, you know, we'll break them down after they happen. In the results next week. But let's go number 8, USC at Colorado. Now, this one was a, you know, unfortunate situation, because I thought that, you know, Travis Hunter would be playing. I was looking forward to seeing that battle between him and Caleb Williams. You know, as you know, Caleb Williams was going to take a shot at his side, and I was just going to, you know, really excited to see how Travis Hunter was going to respond to that. But Colorado's coming off of I can't say what I want to say, a beatdown against, Oregon, where, you know, they were obviously outmatched. And Oregon was just too much, could have scored more, honestly, but, I don't even know it. You know, if they could have had five Travis Hunters out there, and I don't even think it would have mattered the way that they were doing them. So, yeah, but coming in, the interesting thing is this, a lot of people are thinking Travis isn't going to play. We know everything that came out about him and, you know, texting Coach Prime, telling him I'm not taking no for an answer. Then he's showing that he told him to get his rest and his health is more important. Now, what if all of a sudden on Saturday morning during college game day, we get an alert that Travis Hunter is going to be a game time decision? Because right now, nobody's expecting him to play. But what if it's a tactic? You know? What if it's, now it's a game time decision. Now you're putting pressure on USC. And what if he is able to play? Now, I don't know how effective he'd be able to be, but if he was medically cleared and he was able to go out there and play, now that would be some wild stuff. I don't know if it's going to happen, but I'm just saying, hypothetically speaking, that would be wild. But I'm not going to speak in hypotheticals when it comes to picking his game, because as it stands now, he will not be out there. I think Colorado's in for another, tough battle. I mean, tough loss. So I'm taking USC. Then you got number 22, Florida, on the road at Kentucky. I'm going to rock with Kentucky in this. I know, you know, Florida found its way in the rankings after, you know, dropping that game to Utah. But they came back and had a huge win over the Tennessee Volunteers. So they're feeling really good about themselves. But I think, you know, Kentucky, you know, going on the road to Kentucky is a team that has been, showing some really good signs as a team that can really, compete in the SEC East. So, you know, I'm going to rock with Kentucky in this one. So that's who I'm rolling with. Then you got number one UGA going on the road to face Auburn. Now, this is Georgia's first true test. They've had four straight cupcake home games. Yes, I threw cupcake in there because I talked to too many Georgia fans who over the years tried to tell me Alabama doesn't play anybody, but they have like one of the worst strength of schedules right now in college football. I mean, Ball State and UAB and South Carolina, come on now. Like, let's be for real. Like, be for real. But hey, it is what it is. I think that UGA should be careful because they're on upset alert. I'm gonna pick them to win this game just because I wasn't impressed with what Auburn put on tape last week against Texas A&M. But going on the road in Jordan Hare is always a wild time. And I go back to, you know, I really think back to the time in 2013 when I was 2013. When I was at Alabama, I remember sitting there watching that game. They ended up winning 43-38 because they threw Nick Marshall threw a Hail Mary at the end of the game, and it tipped off of the like Georgia players and right into the hands of the Auburn player as the clock expired, and they won the game. That was the year that Auburn was having these miracle runs. So I think that UGA should be careful because I haven't been impressed. I really haven't. I mean, they have speed on defense, but I just offensively, they just haven't shown, you know, that much to me. And I think that just because of the lack of, talent for the teams that they've actually played, it hasn't been a true test. So and then the test that, I mean, South Carolina was doing work on them before their receiver got hurt. And then that kind of like changed the tone of the game because he's one of their best players. So that kind of sucked because I would have been interested to see kind of how that played out and if they were, you know, going to be able to contain him, because it wasn't looking good for Georgia at first in that first half. But I'm going to pick UGA, but watch out for them on upset alert. Number 13, LSU, and number 20, Ole Miss. I'm going to go with Ole Miss in this game. I think that, you know, obviously Lane Kiffin coming off of a tough loss on the road against Alabama in a game where they were, expected to score more points. This is a team that puts up a lot of points, and they were held to just 10. So I know, you know, Lane is going to be, you know, he's frustrated with that. He's going to come out swinging and taking shots. And I think this is going to be a tight, close game. But I think Ole Miss ultimately is going to pull out the win. Number 11, Notre Dame, at number 17, Duke. I'm going to rock with Notre Dame in this one. I know that they had that tough loss against Ohio State, but I think they bounced back in this game. But it's not going to be easy because Duke has shown, you know, they're for real in the ACC. We saw what they did to Clemson, so do not be surprised if this one is a tight, close matchup. So, but I'm going to go with Notre Dame to pull it out. And last but not least, man, number 12, Alabama at Mississippi State. This one is a late game on Saturday at 9 o'clock, which is a little annoying, but hey, they're coming into Stark Vegas. Cowbells will be ringing. It'll be wild place to play, but I think Alabama comes in and they roll and they win that game. I got Alabama over Mississippi State. And last but not least, man, let's talk NFL Sunday selections. I'm going to quickly run through my selections here in no particular order. I mean, these are some games that I've just circled, and I think that, you know, these are going to be my picks. So I got my Bears over the Broncos. Lord, please help us get a win because I don't know what's going on in Chicago. Amen. Jags over Falcons. That game is going to be at 9 a.m. because they're playing out of the country. Dolphins over Bills. I got Ravens over Browns. Saints over Bucks, Eagles over Washington, and the Chiefs over the Jets. So that wraps up my Saturday selections and Sunday selections, and that wraps up the show, man. That's all I got for y'all. I appreciate y'all jumping in as always and giving me that time, that space to connect, talk sports, kick back and chill. Continue to rock with me. I'll be back next week to give y'all some more sports talk, man. Jump into what happened on this past weekend, man, and look ahead to the next week of sports, man. So look, again, I appreciate the love, appreciate the support. Continue to rock with me. Y'all be blessed. Enjoy the weekend. I'm out.